Some time ago, I don't know how long ago it was, I shared something about one of the laws of thermodynamics. And I was really surprised and to find that on the 30th of June, in the UCB word for today, it has the heading, the law of entropy. Now, we've a couple of these I noticed left. These end of July. So if anybody wants to follow it through... All right. Is that his telephone? Does anybody want... Have you got one of these, anybody? There's only two left. Anybody wants to look at... No? No takers? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Barry, there's one for you. Just look, just turn up to 30th of June. Now there's a couple of things I want to bring tonight, and they're wrapped up together. But I want to start, just read this that it says on the 30th of June. So they give a scripture at the start of this, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's out of Proverbs, but I'm going to go back to that. I'm just going to read this article first. A pastor writes, the second law of thermodynamics states this physical truth. If left to their own devices, everything in the universe moves towards disorder and decay. Cars rust, food rots. It's also called the law of entropy. And the only way to prevent entropy is to introduce an outside energy source to counteract it. The technical term for this is negentropy, and the refrigerator is a good example. You plug it into an electrical outlet and it produces cold air that keeps food from rotting. If the refrigerator gets disconnected from its energy source, entropy will take over again and things will get smelly. Isn't that what happens when we get disconnected from God? Life moves towards decay and disorder. So how do we overcome our entropic tendencies? Solomon answers, where there is no vision, the people perish. If sin is entropy, then investing our energies in a God-sized vision is negentropy. The word perish comes from the Hebrew word para, and entropy is a fair translation. Perhaps many church problems don't come from an abundance of sin, but rather from a lack of vision. We're not suggesting that there aren't sin problems or that those problems don't need to be dealt with. But in too many instances, there isn't enough vision to keep churches busy. Our vision isn't big enough to demand all our energy, so we focus on petty problems to keep us busy. The same is true on a personal level. If we have a large vision of what God wants us to accomplish in us and through us, our problems would diminish because we are consumed by a cause greater than ourselves. I think that's brilliant because they're talking about a natural law of science. You know, things tend to decay, tend to go into disorder. And they talked about, you know, the Big Bang producing all that we see now. But a Big Bang just produces chaos.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't produce order. And we know that God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion, he's a God of order. And he says throughout his word that he produces order. And one of the things that he produced that science and all that still trying to get its mind around is that he produced us, life. And the word it used, well, it said that God made us. God made everything. And one of the key areas to look, I keep going back to the first chapter of John, but it's a good example, this. Everything came into being, and the word being is genome. We know about genes, we know about the genomes and all things like that. We've heard those words. But that's where it begins, with the gene, the genome. And God created that. Men have tried to play about with it and mess about with it, but God created it. And it's against disorder. It's producing order because God created it. So the law of entropy is where things go chaotic. And you see it. If something crashes, it wrecks it. It becomes disorder. If you get an explosion, it's disorder. You don't get any order out of it. You just get chaos. So entropy loses energy and it dissolves into chaos. That's what the science tells us happens, and you see it. You see it happening. On that particular article, it says the only way to prevent entropy is to introduce an outside energy source to counteract it. This is where God comes in. God is the energy source that produces order. He did it by creating the gene. That's the beginning. Now, if you look in the first chapter of John, the first few verses, well, specifically verse 3, it says that all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, I've talked about this before. That word being is this word genome. That's where we get genome from. It's the beginning to be. That's where it starts. And God created that. You know, if you look into the Authorized Version, uses the word made. But I think this is a good way of it came into being. We know what being is. You're not has been, you are being now. You exist now, you are being, you are a being. So when God created things, and he created things with a beginning, he created the life source. He was the outside energy, the outside power that produced the life. And it tells it in verse 4 of John 1, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He produced the life. It wasn't manufactured, it wasn't a result of an explosion, it wasn't anything like that. It was God's input that created life. Now, the interesting thing is that when God creates something, we sometimes miss the point, because when you and I are healed, sometimes we might just think, well, God just flicked a switch. No, he hasn't. He has created something. When he heals you, when he heals me, he creates something in you and me. It's in John chapter 2, verse 9, he talks about water being made wine. That word made is the genome again. God didn't just flick a switch and that water became wine. He created wine. He created it. In the King James Version, it says water that was made wine. In this NASB version, it says water which had become wine. And that word became is that genome. He created the wine. Don't ask me what happened to the water, but he created the wine. It wasn't just flick. He didn't just flick a switch. The person at the pool of Bethesda, you know, waiting for the water to be disturbed so he could get in. He wanted to be made well. And Jesus did make him well. But he created something in him. He didn't just flick a switch. He created something in him. He asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" And he talked about getting well. But Jesus actually created something in him that produced the healing. We forget that all that Jesus does, all that God does, is create. When you are in a state of ill health and you want to get better, you want something new inside. You want something new. It might be that you need something that's going to fight whatever it is that's attacking you. You might want something new inside that's going to replace something that's not working properly. But God is putting that inside you through his power. He is creating something new. I had to sit and think about this because I had this thought or understanding that God just flicked a switch and that was it. But he doesn't. He creates. That's what he's all about. And he wants to have us to have life, and he wants us to have life to the full. And we don't always get it right, not by any means. And like, if you go back to David said, create in me a clean heart. Create in me. Not just flick a switch and I'll, you know, it doesn't work like that. God says, if you come to me, he says, I'll renew your mind. I will renew it. He's not going to fix the old mind. He says, I'm renewing it. He says, I'm doing a miracle of renewal in you that's going to change your perception, your understanding. So that, you know, when God is saying, bringing something into being or making something, he's bringing something new into existence. That's what that word is all about. It's a creative act. So when God heals you, it's a creative act. He's not just fixing something that's wrong. He's creating something new to replace the old. Everything that we get that's worth anything comes from him, one way or another. Andrew mentions about finance. If we have finance, it's from him. We don't own that finance. We're never in the position, because at some point in time, we're going to leave it behind. So we never own anything, really. Everything is God's, and he gives it to us. But he has the input into us to create in us and through us and around us new things. If we were stuck in one position all our lives and never did anything and went anywhere, we would be the most sorry people. You know, you'd probably die of boredom. But God's continually inputting new things into us, creating new things into us and around us. Sometimes when we get a challenge in the lives that God's put before us, it can be really daunting taking up that challenge. But God's got to put something new inside us to cope with that. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, he tells us that from him and through him are all things. Everything comes through him. Everything of value comes through him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, I'll just turn to that because there's a bit more to it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created. Right? All things created. Not flicked a switch. He created them. Both in the heavens and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. See, the fact that science, or those that call themselves scientists, try to answer questions without the real truth, because God is the truth. And God created things in the beginning. The genome, the gene, everything is created by him. So man's trying to put this puzzle together and leaving God out. He can't. He cannot. Because God is the very fountain of everything that exists. It's all come from him. So if we try and leave him up and we're trying to calculate all things, they can't tell us how the genes, how the genetic code and everything else came to be. They can try and work it out and interpret something of what it means, but they can't go back to the creation part of it. And the same with miracles. The doctor cannot tell you why a miracle happened. He can tell you the results of a miracle. Oh, suddenly he's got a new heart. Or he's got something it's different. Somehow you're different. Yeah, because God's created something new. Something that's healed. Whatever was wrong. God's put that healing move in us. Another quote, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. See, from whom are all things, not some things, all things. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. This law of entropy, it's funny, this law of entropy, because I looked in the dictionary, found entropy, never found this entropy that they're talking about, and it wasn't even in the dictionary. But the entropy, as I say, is going back to this law that scientists agree this is a proper law, that things tend to go towards confusion. My God is not a God of confusion. My God is a God of order. He brings order. And the science, again, cannot understand how you get order when their law, the law of thermodynamics, tells us that it should go the other way, towards chaos and confusion. Tells me in his word that God holds it together. Tells me in his word that God created it. It tells me in the word that God is controlling it. You know, when we go to God, when we've got a problem, we go to God. We don't know how he's going to sort it. We have no idea. We can have our own perceptions of things. The likely outcome is got to work things different to anything that we imagined. But the thing is, God has got the power. He's got the power and authority to do anything he wants to do. So when we go and ask in our little way about the tiny problems that we've got, it's nothing to him to create in us something new, something miraculous. They call it a miracle because they can't think of any other explanation. A miracle means, oh, well, I don't have to explain it. Well, we can explain it because it's God's input. Through creation onwards, he has had an input into you and me. You know, I mean, I'm 77 now. I could go back 20 or 30 years and think how I was then. And I thought, oh, I'll always be like this, you know, running about all over and one thing and another and doing all sorts of things. But, you know, your body ages. The natural aging process is you know, more so with some than others. But we all are subject to that same aging process. But even as we get older, we know from David, God can put something new inside. We don't know how he does it, but we know he does. Because he's the God of creation. See, once you accept that, his abilities are infinite. When they deny it, it restricts them and locks them in. It's so much that they miss out on the miraculous. They miss out on the potential that God opens up. Just the fact that we can come to him and say, Lord. I mean, you know, I was in A&E and I was laid on that and I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I can't explain how I felt. I wasn't particularly frightened, but I suppose it was a little bit unreal, really, because I'm not used to being ill. And they pumped the saline solution in, they put the heart monitors on me, and then they were taking me through to give me heart a shock to bring it back into rhythm and whatnot. And even then, I was going through, and all right. And they put the pads on already to give me a shock. They were going to give me an anaesthetic while they did it. And they were just about to that stage. And I'd said to God was, you sort it, Lord. You sort it. I couldn't say anything else. And he did. I don't know how. All they turned around and said, your heart's come back to normal. And I don't know how it happened, what happened. But I know that I've got someone that I can come to and say, Lord, you do it. I can't. You might say, well, you know, it wasn't much of a prayer. But it's what was inside me. Lord, you sort it. I can't. And I didn't know where it was going. I don't know what would have happened had they shocked me, whatever they were going to do. But you see, in your situations, you've got a wonderful source to go for renewal, renewing the mind, renewing your body, renewing situations, renewing relationships. It works all through because he's the God of the being. He's the God of the genome, the gene, the everything that comes from it. He's the God who creates, and he creates in you and me. And we don't have to understand the mechanics, but we do have to know the source. And that's why we're here, because we know the source. We might not be perfect in how we live and the things that we do and the things that we react to, but God loves us with a passion, and he'll touch our lives when we think there's no answer. God will touch our lives. He'll touch our bodies. He'll touch our mind. And he'll renew things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformed, if I remember rightly, is to do like the butterfly. Yeah. You know, it changes from the caterpillar through the chrysalis into the butterfly. It's transformed. Science can't answer that. How does that happen? You go in as a caterpillar and come out as a butterfly. You know, but that's God. That's God working in us and working through us. So I say, it wasn't much of a message tonight, but it was just, I just got hold of, because it had come up on this law of entropy, and it just sparked me again to look at it. So I hope that's blessed you, and just keep going on. You know the source, and you know he cares, and you know he answers. Praise God. Amen.